reopening Jacksonville. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead on today's show, we've got a closer look at Mayor Lenny Curry's plan to start reopening the city's economy. What do you think about that? And also efforts to open up both Florida and Georgia. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Then later, have you been trying to cut your hair at home? How is that going for you? One local hairdresser, actually it's my hairdresser, has some advice. That's later. But first this hour, the latest on the spread of COVID-19 in Florida. Statewide, the Florida Department of Health has reported 28,576 COVID cases, 927 deaths. In our area, there are 1,521 reported cases and 37 deaths. There was one new death reported in Clay County overnight of a 79-year-old woman. And also new this week, former Congresswoman Corrine Brown was released early from federal prison because of coronavirus fears. Brown, who does have underlying health conditions, had been serving a 5-year sentence on federal corruption charges. She's now out. Meanwhile, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry this week said it's time to take at least incremental steps to partially reopen the city of Jacksonville economy. Listen to this.
We're under a safer at home order that's statewide right now. I know the governor wants to get us back to where we can open responsibly. I do as well. So we are eyeing not a specific date, but we are eyeing a near term timeline to begin to incrementally open some things up.
Now, Curry has assembled a heavyweight group of local civic leaders to advise him on this. And the mayor, in making this move, cited data that shows Jacksonville is already reaching some milestones when it comes to testing for COVID-19 and flattening the curve of positive cases being treated in local hospitals. Curry's announcement came as a small group of protesters assembled yesterday outside the Duval County Courthouse and Jacksonville City Hall. They are calling for the city and the state to immediately and fully reopen. Is this a good idea? Mike Mendenhall is following the story for the Jax Daily Record, and he's on the line. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Melissa. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you on the show. And here's our question to callers. What is your reaction to Jacksonville's steps toward reopening, also the state of Florida's? And if you're up in Georgia, we want to hear from you, too. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has opened up some businesses as soon as this Friday. Now, yesterday, President Trump said he disagreed with the governor doing that in Georgia. Lots to discuss here, but let's begin with the Jacksonville story. Mike, the mayor says he's got a group of civic leaders to help advise him in opening the economy. And he says he's making this decision based on the percentage of positive test results in the city. That number is going down. Availability of hospital beds. Hospitals aren't being overwhelmed with patients in our area as they have been in many other parts of the country. And so what's been the reaction so far that you're hearing to the mayor's decision?
Well, I mean, the reaction from business owners is cautious optimism. I mean, they're, you know, some business owners, they're anxious to get back to work. Clearly, they want the economy to reopen, but at the same time, they also want their customer base and their clients to feel comfortable, coming into the stores, to the businesses. And so there is some hesitation. As far as the group goes itself that Curry's assembled, it's an advisory council. So he stressed that it's an informal group, that they won't be making binding decisions, but they will be, advising him on specifically on things like infrastructure projects, things that the city can do to advance projects in the neighborhoods, as well as around the city to create jobs and get some economic activity going.
It's 549-2937. Let us know how you feel about plans to partially reopen Jacksonville's economy in the near term, as the mayor says, and the state's as well. And in looking at the task force or the civic advisors the mayor has brought around him, he's got everyone from the president of the chamber to one medical doctor, Dr. Leon Haley at UF Health Jax. He's got a blend of corporate and civic advisors. And as you've said, Mike, business owners certainly are suffering and want to reopen. The big question I think we all have is, if they open their doors, will the public come in? Will the public feel safe patronizing, say, a dine-in restaurant or another business where you're kind of in close quarters with other human beings? We just don't know the answer to that yet, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, Mayor Curry stressed that there right now there is no specific timeline. He has not released a specific timeline on when he's going to give the order to loosen some of these restrictions. But there will still be social distancing in place. He made that pretty clear in his press conferences. So, these small businesses, what have been called non-essential businesses, when they're asked to reopen, there's probably going to be capacity limits still. There's likely going to, people are going to be asked to customers to remain 6 feet apart. So those kind of things are all being looked at. And, the city hall's really kind of, you mentioned some of the criteria and the benchmarks earlier. Those are really federal guidelines that the White House has set out. And Curry also said that he's going to be, monitoring the recommendations from Governor Ron DeSantis' task force, which he actually is a member of one of the working groups on. So, yesterday when the task force were meeting, one of the things that some of the statewide business leaders were concerned about were potential lawsuits that could come to these businesses if they reopen from customers, employees who might, either if they contract COVID-19 or if they feel like they're at risk, that they feel like reopening these businesses could be, could have some liability. So there's a concern there too.
Sure. And all of this is happening as a new survey from the Associated Press finds overwhelmingly Americans are in favor of stay-at-home orders and other efforts to slow the spread of coronavirus, even though we have seen some small protests demanding the end of restrictions around the country, including here in Jacksonville. There was a survey done in Florida too, Mike, that found the majority of Floridians support staying at home and not fully reopening the economy. And up in Georgia, the governor there, Brian Kemp, has come under criticism as well for saying he wants to open a slew of business sectors beginning this Friday. And so governors in the Southeast seem to be ahead of their populations in terms of their efforts to reopen, at least if we look at the survey data we've seen.
Yeah, and that kind of held true as well when things started to shut down. I mean, I know a lot of the municipalities and localities in Florida were kind of ahead of the curve as far as issuing kind of restrictions and orders such as that. So there's definitely a sense on the ground in some of these cities, in our population centers that it might be, too soon to fully reopen. Now, you mentioned that poll. I mean, that polling data has been showing kind of across the board. I know the NBC Wall Street Journal released a poll earlier this week that also showed, I believe, 60% of Americans are concerned about reopening the country too soon. So that is definitely prevalent. Another thing too, the mayor is expected to have a press conference this afternoon where he's going to announce additional relief steps locally for Jacksonville. He referenced in a tweet last night that on April 7th he had signed the bill into law that created a loan program with Vistar Credit Union to provide some small business capital relief, and so he's teasing that there's going to be an additional program, whether that's stimulus or whether that's I know that the city has also talked about using some fees, possibly permitting fees for businesses, things of that nature, to kind of alleviate some of the stress and keep the economy at least moving.
Sure. New unemployment data shows about 1 in 6 American workers have lost their jobs since mid-March. Could we actually be heading all the way to 30% unemployment, depression-era levels? Nobody wants that. But if you're just tuning in, as we speak with Mike Mendenhall of the Jack's Daily Record, here's our question to callers. What are your thoughts about plans to at least partially reopen Jacksonville and also Florida's economy? Give us a call. It's 549-2937 to join us. Bradley is downtown. Hi, Bradley. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for sharing that data that reflects the true attitude of most Americans, and I think the attitude of Jacksonville, which is that we are in support of science and in support of keeping everyone safe. I just wanted to comment that these small group of protesters around the country represent a very small sector of the population, but they're getting a huge amount of press coverage because it's so outrageous and because, you know, they're breaking all the rules. Those of us who are, you know, respecting doctor's orders and staying home, you know, we don't have a protest. We're not visible because we're at home. But that is the vast, that's the vast majority of sentiment. And also it should be noted that these protests, these Facebook pages, they've been organized and funded not by grassroots, but by special interest far right groups. And so it's not as if all of Jacksonville is just itching to get back to work. And so that's why we're suddenly, you know, taking to the streets. This is a coordinated effort by special interest groups who care a lot more about the bottom dollar than they do their workers. So I just wanted to thank you for putting the true data out there, and then also just to point out our protest is staying at home. You know, we're doing the right thing, but we're a lot less visible.
All right, Bradley, thanks for that. And you're right. The protests that we saw around the country were, according to the research that was done on them, astroturfed, not necessarily spontaneous and organic. Lots of calls on this. Let's go to Richard in Lakewood. Hi, Richard. What are your thoughts?
Hi. I do want to go back to work. However, at this time, you know, we have nothing to protect our employees, nor do we have anything to protect our guests that are coming in to dine. Being a restaurant owner and the owner of Pink Salt Restaurant, it's a little bit scary to think that, you know, the people are coming in that are ill and, you know, not with COVID, but other compromised immune system and stuff, that they're going to come in.
Yeah. You know. Well, so let me ask you then, Richard, when do you anticipate reopening Pink Salt Restaurant?
Well, you know, we want to open as soon as possible, but again, we want to be cautious and not open too soon and get anyone ill or, you know, put anyone live at risk for, you know, we just don't know.
Yeah.
You
know, I don't think anyone does. Are you going to stay closed through May?
Well, you know, if the order is to stay closed through May, we will stay closed through May. But if we are told to reopen, we'll reopen cautiously and, you know, make sure that we do our best to, you know, protect our staff along with the people that are coming in to dine. We, you know, we try to protect them the best as possible.
Sure. So you maybe limit the number of diners, the number of tables that are available, that kind of thing?
So the plan is to do disposable menus, you know, limit the number of diners, provide hand sanitizers for the staff and for the guests that are coming in, and, you know, recommend people to wear a mask. But the tricky thing about masks is how does one dine and wear a mask?
That's a good point, Richard. That's a very good point. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
You know, so again, you know, you have somebody at the table, they're dining, and they take the mask off. So it defeats the purpose of wearing a mask inside.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I feel for you. I know how tough it's been for restaurant owners, and I really appreciate you calling. And when things do reopen, go check out Richard's place, Pink Salt. What's the address, Richard?
So it's 5111 Bay Meadows Road, and it's suite number 19.
Okay, so thanks so much.
Pink Salt Restaurant and Wine Bar.
Pink Salt Restaurant and Wine Bar. There you go. Thanks, Richard. He's the owner there. John is downtown. Hi, John. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Melissa and Mike, and thank you so much for taking my call. Listen, as far as Jacksonville, we have to remember it's easier here. So, you know,
that's right.
As, you know, getting the economy and things going, what we really need to do is to immediately utilize those big Jumbotron TVs and just have all the city council committee and all those meetings with one big Zoom boom. You know,
at the stadium, you mean? Have the council meet at the stadium. That's not a bad idea, John. That's not a bad idea.
Come on in.
Maybe they're listening. You never know.
Your own section?
That would, you know what? That would be more interesting than your typical Jacksonville City Council meeting, I got to tell you. Be a lot more interesting.
Zoom boom. Yeah.
Thanks, John. Thanks for that. Kevin on the south side. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I just wanted to take and end up making a comment. The first one that was on here talking about the protesters and the far right and everything. In my opinion, I really think that it's not so much of the far right. It's the people that's taking going through this weeks after weeks without, you know, having any paychecks or having any money to provide for their family. So they're having to make a choice between either providing for their family and starving or, you know, waiting for, I guess, the government to take and end up lifting this restrictions for the COVID-19 to start the economy back up.
Kevin, I understand you. I mean, certainly people are desperately worried about their finances, taking care of their kids, putting food on the table. And that is obviously what's driving local and state decisions to try to get the economy moving again. So I appreciate you sharing your point of view on that. It's a divisive issue, you know, but we are caught between two terrible priorities here. There's no money coming in, but at the same time, public health is an imperative. This is a very difficult time. And thanks for the call, Kevin. And, you know, we have an email here from Andy, and he wants to echo those remarks. He says, with careful consideration of gradual reopening, it is absolutely necessary to at least begin working on it. We cannot risk lives with foolhardy decisions based on political or personal connections, but we must obviously begin to emerge from our cocoons soon, he says. Lots of feedback on Twitter. Meanwhile, here's one from Stephen. Rushing to reopen is insane. There is no going back to normal. We should follow the guidance of medical experts, plan what a new normal will look like, and make sure we get it right. We need medical experts on task forces, not just business people. All of our lives are on the line, he says. All right, let's go to Bridget in Jacksonville. Hi, Bridget. Good morning.
Hi.
Go ahead. And if you could turn your radio down, that'd be great.
Okay. We are attempting to hire employees. We have two ads out right now for jobs paying 15 to 17 and even as much as 100 grand a year, sales jobs, and we can't get anyone because they want to stay home and collect that money that the government's offering. We actually had employees volunteer to be furloughed because they can make more net staying home than they might be able to make.
Are they already getting their stimulus money?
One has just started getting a little bit of it, but the others have not gotten it, but they feel they're being guaranteed it and they want to ride it out. We've lost, three employees for that reason. They want to stay home and get the money, and we're trying to fill positions. And basically, instead of competing with employers, we're competing with what the government's paying people. And they're basically saying, can you beat that?
Wow. So is their motivation just that they can get more money from the stimulus? I mean, that's a one-time payment, though.
It's a crazy mentality, but they want to ride it out and get everything they can, and they feel like they'll get back in the market when.
And are your staffers saying they're too worried to come back to work because they're worried about their health? Or are they just.
No.
And what's the name of your company?
Tillman Auto. It's an automobile dealership.
Okay. Thanks for that, Bridget. That's interesting feedback, too, from another business owner. Here's an email from Nathan. He says, too soon, nothing has changed. The virus still moves invisibly through our cities until we can make it visible through testing and tracking. We are just surrendering to the virus. And we need to know what all of you out there think about this. Let's get a few more of you on the air here as we talk about local and state efforts to reopen the economy. 549-2937 on our Facebook page. Theo writes, this is a step in the right direction. I'm glad to see it. I think this shows you how divisive this issue is, whether you agree or disagree with the plan here in Florida to press ahead with reopening economies, reopening businesses, reopening companies, restaurants, other businesses where everybody is either working from home or whether they've been laid off altogether. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry has said that he is looking to at least partially reopen Jacksonville's economy in the near term. We don't know how near that term is. Of course, the mayor did take some heat from national media last week over his decision to allow the beaches to reopen with restrictions. We were among the first group of beaches to reopen after closing. Let's go to John on the south side. Another John. Hi, John. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Melissa. Well, my concern is this. When people talk about opening up the economy, like your last caller was saying about Tillman Auto, you know, she's saying that the people is, oh, they can get more money off unemployment, and she offering $100,000 a year. That's selling cars. Okay, that's a salesman position. So these people are going to be in danger. The whole reason the government even did the stimulus is not because people don't want to work. It's because they knew that in order for us to get a handle on this disease, we was going to have to take care of the people. Now you have these people, these business owners, who are not in threat, who will stay home and work from home, but they want to put the people that they call the heroes and the frontline people in danger. And that's just not right. We should follow the scientists, not a politician, not the president, because he is not a doctor. And let's really get this right. Because what will happen, because, and it's an old saying in the Bible, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Life is more precious than money. Thank you, Ms. Moon.
All right, John. Thanks for that. Let's take one more call. It's Christine in Palm Coast. Hey, Christine. Good to hear from you down there. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. We've got to focus on the positive, don't we? So what are your thoughts?
Okay. I feel that we are in times, the era of the 30s, 1930s. We've got a lot of reading to do. I read a lot. And I just think that our country has betrayed itself. And it's continuing.
If I could keep you on topic, what are your thoughts about reopening the state? And I'm not disagreeing with you that we could be headed into a repeat of the 30s in some respects, but what are your thoughts about reopening the state?
Wait.
I think we should wait. Okay.
Wait.
Yeah, I hear you, Christine. I hate to cut you off, but we're coming up against a break. Thanks, Christine. That's Christine in Palm Coast. Well, I think that gives you an idea of the division on this issue amongst the callers we had today. Here's one more tweet from Rebecca. Even when things open up, I'm going to be reluctant to go out. The disease is still out there. I can't imagine going back to a crowded restaurant for quite some time, she says. Businesses will open up soon. Speaking of that, up next.
We've all kind of, I think, been there where you just needed your bangs trimmed or your neck shaven before you go out somewhere. You're just like, I'm going to do this myself.
Is that you? With hair salons closed, how's it working out for you trying to cut your own hair? One local hairdresser has some advice. We'll be right back.
Introducing the Jacksonville Music Experience from WJCT, offering music lovers a variety of ways to enjoy favorite artists and discover new genres. Download the WJCT app or visit wjct.org/jacksmusic to start listening today.
April is Jazz Appreciation Month, and Electro Lounge Radio 89.9 FM HD4 celebrates the heritage and history of jazz every Sunday from sunrise to sunset. So tune in to Electro Lounge Radio 89.9 FM HD4 or online at wjct.org/jacksmusic and explore the roots of jazz from old favorites to fresh new jazz. We play it all every Sunday on Electro Lounge Radio. Jazz, America's original art form. Part of the Jacksonville Music Experience from WJCT.
The Voidcast from WJCT is a musical journey through Northeast Florida. I'm the host, Void Magazine editor Matt Shaw. Join me while I cut through the digital noise to share handpicked local music stories. WJCT.org/Voidcast.
So what is self-care? Self-care is showing up for yourself. It helps us manage stress and it promotes well-being. It's taking our awareness back and not allowing ourselves to be taken over by fear. And right now, during this time of quarantine, it couldn't be more important. So we can ask ourselves, what can I do to feel better and take better care of myself during this time? The number one thing to do is move your body. It's the number one way to feel better. Our bodies were made to move. It literally changes our brain and boosts our immune system. So what kind of movement? Take a walk, take a run, take a jog. Just be in your house dancing. Stretch. Bend over. Stretch your hamstrings. Find a yoga video. That's one of the best things that is happening right now is so much content is being provided online with free videos on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. If you like to dance, you can go to Instagram Club Quarantine and DJ D-Nice, and hundreds of thousands of people around the world will be dancing with you.
Well, there you go. Some tips for you on self-care in the pandemic. They are from First Coast author Leanne Kendall. Check out her new book, Self-Care 101, 30 Days to 100 Ways of Self-Care. Leanne will drop in on the show with some more self-care tips for us in the weeks ahead. Now, speaking of self-care, have you tried to cut your own hair lately? Of course, with the pandemic, people have been taking grooming into their own hands at home. If you've been on social media, you've seen some of the hilarious results. Well, do you miss your hairdresser? I tell you, I really miss mine. It's Scott Redfield of Redfield Salon in Five Points. Here's his advice on what to do with your hair right now. Scott Redfield, it's so good to hear your voice. How you doing?
Doing good, Melissa. It's good to hear yours as well.
And I can't wait to see you in person when this lockdown is over because I really need a haircut, like so many other people.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
I bet. Now, your salon, Redfield's in Five Points, is obviously closed right now. And before we talk about people dealing with their hair issues, what's that been like for you and your team?
Well, it's been a challenge, as it is with most small businesses. We have, obviously, like you said, been closed. We actually closed 2 weeks prior to the city mandate, just because we are such a personal business. We are right in your personal space. So we just didn't want to, you know, add to the numbers, honestly.
Sure, sure. And it's been tough for anyone in your line of work, but you are planning to open in May, so that's good news, right?
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to getting back to work and to seeing all of our clients, you know, being a very social atmosphere and a social person. It's been, and social distancing's been tough.
Yeah. It's tough on everyone. And I think it's not as critical as people fighting for their lives, obviously, but the loss of all of the personal interactions and personal services that people have as part of their routine, like going to get your hair done or get your hair cut at a barber shop, it's tough. And so we're seeing these really bizarre and hilarious social media posts of people trying to cut their own hair right now. And it's pretty funny and it's pretty scary all at the same time. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think it's hilarious. You know, it's offered a lot of laughter and funny memes and things on Instagram to scroll through in the morning with coffee and just see what people are willing to do to kind of get a little bit of relief. I mean, we've all kind of, I think, been there where you just, you know, needed your bangs trimmed or your neck shaven before you go out somewhere and you just didn't get a chance to go and get it done. And you're just like, I'm going to do this myself. And it's not like it's something that's you know, new in our industry. People have done that before, and it never works out.
No. Do not try this at home. But the only problem is people are.
Yes, they are. Yes, it's definitely desperate times right now. My advice to anyone listening is just put the scissors down.
Really? Don't even try.
Yeah, I really would not. I mean, I think the unknowns of everything right now is really what's adding to this. I think obviously we're bored and we're trying to occupy our time as well as make ourselves feel a little better. But honestly, it's not going to end well.
Yes, you won't get the look you want.
You're going to end up feeling worse. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this is a reminder that people are experts in their field for a reason. And it's a lot harder than it looks to cut someone's hair.
Yes, it definitely is. And believe me, I've tried doing it myself, not recently, but a few years ago. And I know what I'm doing. And trying to do it myself in the mirror, it took about 2 hours because there were some definite mistakes that I had to fix. And even then, it still didn't end up looking great. I had to go and get it fixed.
Wow. So, well, what's your advice for people who their hair has just gotten, you know, they can't color their hair, they can't have the look they want, the cut they want. Is there anything people can do?
Yeah, there are options. I mean, I know you could do an at-home color touch-up. You can do those. We offer little touch-up kits that you can do. There's the powder sprays that you can use if you're really trying to disguise any new growth that's coming out of your hair that you're not used to seeing that's bugging you. If your ends are feeling dry or brittle or they're split, doing a hair mask helps a lot. I mean, we have plenty of time now, so a 20-minute hair mask is not going to seem that, you know, out of reach in today's time frame. So, you know, if you don't have a chance to order anything, there's home remedies and things like that. You can look up for those. But I know a lot of places, including mine, are doing still doing, you know, deliveries of those, dropping them at your door, or even some companies will allow you to order them online and the profits still go to your local salon. So I think that's something to work, you know, looking into. You're supporting a local business as well as making sure you don't make a mistake.
Yeah. And people, of course, can buy a gift card to your salon, use it later. Oh, Redfield Salon in Five Points, right?
Yes, it's very helpful. It is huge because it does help us take care of our overhead that is still coming. And it will make the transition easy when we reopen because we're still going to have to order a lot of products and hair color and things like that to be ready to take business on when we are able to go back. And then you get to use it in the future. So it's a little treat for you to then know that you've already kind of prepaid for that service, that when you come in, it's ready for you. It's already done.
Oh, I'm looking forward to mine. Looking forward to seeing you again in person. Thank you so much. He's Scott Redfield, owner of Redfield Salon in Five Points. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Melissa.
Well, this is cool. A new national website, Girls Night In Online, is spotlighting women's stories and their initiatives in the midst of this pandemic. Jacksonville executive coach Terry Hoffman will appear on GNI Online tonight. Take a listen.
You're going to be doing what we're all doing these days, connecting with people through Zoom on the platform Girls Night In Online. What are you going to be talking about?
So I am going to be talking about how we can all do some simple things to help us manage our lives through this crazy pandemic and keep our eyes on the future, which is going to be amazing once we make it through this.
Let's hope so. I think we're all hanging on to that. What are some pieces of advice you'll have?
Well, you know, one of the things that, as you've seen, I'm sure there are tons of people out there with lots of different ideas about how we can make things better. And one of the points that I have is that we need to make sure that we're sourcing our sources so that we're actually using expert advice. The other thing that I would say is that just because something works for most people doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work for you individually. So don't put yourself under a lot of pressure to do what everybody else is saying that you need to do. Think about it as though you're a scientist and try some new things and assess whether they're working or not. And try them a few times, because sometimes things don't immediately work. But try, observe, see what the outcomes are, and then keep trying new things until you get your set of things that actually work for you.
Okay. And you'll be giving this talk on a brand new free platform. It's a website for women. The URL is gnionline.com, Girls Night In Online. Tell me a little bit about Girls Night In.
So this is a group of amazing women. This GNI was created by a woman by the name of Shelley Fisher, who is the founder and head of a group that's called PIF Group. So they, very early on, right when things started to go a little crazy and people were not able to work, they put this thing together as just like a thought, and it just has exploded. So I read about it in the Business Journal. I'm like, hey, yeah, how can I help? And reached out to them. And at that time, they said they were having about 24, 25 people show up at each of their meetings. They do one every week, and then also morning ones on fitness. And so they were having 24, 25. Last week when I talked to them, they're saying they're having like 40 to 50 people show up on these meetings. So I think they're really tapping into a need that people have to learn and grow right now, and a need that we as women have to serve and help one another.
I'm going to check it out, and I really appreciate you sharing this with us. The Zoom talk is Thursday night at girlsnightinonline.com, gnionline.com. She's executive coach Terry Hoffman. Thanks, Terry.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. We'll see you Thursday.
That actually starts at 4 o'clock today at gnionline.com. Well, First Coast Home Pros has recently pivoted from their main business, home services, to producing face shields for the University of Florida. And they're working to provide healthcare workers their protection from COVID-19. This is such a great effort. Company President Josh Kennedy is on the phone with more about this. Hey, Josh.
Good morning. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm great, thanks. So you're based in Jacksonville, Arlington, actually, and you're now pivoting your production staff there to making face shields for UF Health Jacksonville. What prompted this move?
Well, it initially started with an effort to make cloth masks for our employees, their families, and our customer base. And we learned about just a shortage of PPE and figured out how we could make not just the cloth masks, but move into these face shields. And, you know, that's really what got us started, is just hearing that there was the need and deciding that we had the availability. You know, we had some people that in some of our divisions, like our maid services division, where people really don't want anybody in their home right now. So we've got people who are here to help, and figured we could contribute.
Wow. So how are you making them? What are you making them out of? How is this all working?
Sure. So, and we've got on our YouTube channel, we've got some tutorials on both the face shields and the cloth masks. And what we're doing with the shields is, initially we had planned to use elastic that we had on hand, half inch elastic, and projector sheets. And basically what we do is, with those sheets and the foam that we use, we assemble everything with double-sided tape. So you got a 8.5 by 11 piece of transparency film, and tape that to a 1.25 by 1.25 inch strip of foam, which it originally is supposed to be used for sealing air conditioner units, window units, and put it all together. And they make, really great face shields, and the feedback from health workers so far has been great.
I bet. Now, you've already delivered, what, over 600 face shields to UF Health Jacks, and you plan to do more?
Yeah, exactly. So we've got a few hundred more here right now that are ready to go. And we've got materials, most of the materials, to build as many as 6,000 additional face shields. We're just waiting on one of the components right now, sourcing materials is getting harder and harder because, thankfully, around the country, there are many, many people and companies that are doing similar things. And, you know, everybody's kind of rushing to make these space shields, and it's got a shortage on the supply. And we've also got, you know, just the issue of logistics, transportation, getting things here. So we're supposed to be getting a shipment today of some transparency film, and we're hoping we see it.
I hope you do, too. Now, as you said, people can check out your YouTube channel, First Coast Home Pros YouTube channel, and learn how to make their own face shield or mask. But in the meantime, you are still in the business of making this for healthcare workers. Can the general public buy one from you?
Well, so on the face shields, they're not for sale. We're just giving them away to health workers who need them.
I see.
So certainly, if there's a need, we're interested in helping out. And as we get these additional materials in place, we're happy to offer them to health workers who need them, whether it's an organization or individuals. And that's great. And on the masks, we're kind of doing the same thing. We're trying to get these in the hands of healthcare people, nonprofits, who are looking for quantities because they're hard to, there are a lot of people helping out, but at the same time, there's more need for these things than there is supply of them.
Right. It's great to see that you're able to keep your workforce on the payroll and busy in this time. You're still doing some home services too, right?
Exactly. So some of our divisions are going strong. Then we have others, for example, our carpet cleaning division as well. You know, when you're doing work inside the home, and, you know, we've advised our customers not to have us in their home if they've got, in particular, somebody who's in one of those most at-risk categories there. So with those divisions where we're really looking for something to do, I mean, this is just a perfect fit. There's a huge need for these face shields and masks, and so we're just putting people to work, keeping them on the payroll, and trying to keep the ship afloat.
Exactly right. We've all got to do what we can, and this is so great, Josh. I really commend you. As we've been speaking with Josh Kennedy, the president of First Coast Home Pros, they've pivoted from their main business of home service to producing face shields for UF Health Jack's healthcare workers. And you can learn more all about this and even ask about a mask or a face shield at their website. It's at firstcoasthomepros.com. You can also check out their YouTube channel and learn how to make a face shield or a mask yourself. They've got a tutorial up there. And Josh, kudos to you. Thanks for all you're doing for the community. And thank you so much for joining us today as well. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity to chat. Have a good one.
You too. And in a moment, we're going to share some other news with you. It's how you can play a part in shaping the transportation grid of this city's future. A conversation with Jeff Sheffield of the North Florida TPO is coming up next. We'll be right back.
Cavendish Partners PA and Michael Cavendish, a law practice supporting Jacksonville's business community, downtown, by appointment, and on the web at cavpartners.com.
Groove to Electro Lounge Radio around the clock. Allow the sounds of chill out, down tempo, new jazz, and reggae to relax and inspire you. Download the WJCT app or visit wjct.org/jacksmusic to start listening today.
The coronavirus pandemic has upended the traditional campaign season. For many voters, this moment will be front and center when heading to the ballot box in November.
This crisis will make this election cycle the most unpredictable election cycle in modern American history.
The impact on the 2020 election this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
On the next Fresh Air, The Enabler in Chief. That's the title of Jane Mayer's latest article in The New Yorker. It's about how Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell became President Trump's chief enabler in spite of all their differences. We'll talk with Mayer about why McConnell has been helping Trump and how McConnell has pursued power and money throughout his career. Join us today at noon on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
She's a first-term governor, a rising star in the Democratic Party, and has had a few crossed words with the president. Still, under pressure from the White House and from some Michiganders, Gretchen Whitmer is not backing down. She's standing by what she's described as the gut-wrenching choices taken to keep people safe. That woman from Michigan joins us next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, it is your chance to have a say on the future transportation needs of our fast-growing region. Jeff Sheffield is executive director of the North Florida TPO. That's the Transportation Planning Organization, and he's on the phone for us. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good to talk to you remotely.
Me too.
I know. So usually you're here in studio when you stop by. So you're undergoing an important process right now. What is it?
Yeah, it's actually a little different than maybe what the public has heard when we've been in the past. This one's actually more asking for input specifically about us, the TPO, not projects. We are required every 4 years to go through a federal certification process. So the teams from the U.S. Department of Transportation and Federal Highway and Federal Transit Administration come in and evaluate us as an organization. So what we're really trying to do is, I know a number of your listeners have heard us in the past, and so for those listeners who are familiar with us and who may or may not have interacted with us on occasion for projects or participated in efforts and have some familiarity with us, we are asking them to go to our website and participate in a survey and provide some input about us as an organization. So it's a little different.
Okay, so they need to go to your website and just give them a little feedback. This won't take a lot of time, right?
Not a lot of time at all, actually. If they go to NorthFloridaTPO.com, in the news section is a click to the survey, and it's literally just a couple of questions. If you are familiar with this, and then sort of, have you participated in any of these efforts? How did it go? What do you think of us? That kind of stuff. So it is really for some those who are familiar with us. I do know that we're not necessarily a household name for everyone, but a number of people have been engaged in a lot of our efforts in the past.
Sure. And full disclosure, North Florida TPO is an underwriter here at WJCT. Now, you're also working on a survey in St. Johns County that has to do with sidewalks. But we're all getting out and walking a lot more these days, which is a good thing, certainly. But part of the transportation plan that you look at is making more walkable communities, right?
It absolutely is. And so we are doing a survey effort with St. Johns County, predominantly trying to identify additional gaps in their sidewalk network and develop a process to kind of prioritize how to move forward and fund those efforts. We're also placing a lot of focus right now on the pedestrian issue. I mean, we've talked in the past with it being, you know, Jacksonville in particular being ranked very high nationally every year. We are actually, as part of our Smart North Florida initiative, holding our first entrepreneurial hackathon in May. So this brings together startups and entrepreneurial and data science teams for about a week and gives them access to all of the data sets related to all our pedestrian fatalities and incidents in the region, and is asking them to develop new analytics and predictive tools and try to just look at this in a different creative way. So bringing in some really smart individuals. Teams from all over the country have the chance to sign up. And over the course of a week, they develop different types of solutions. And if something has merit, we then have the ability to move forward with it. So it's just putting a different spin on it, putting some new eyes on it, and see if we can affect that number.
Now, you know, it's been interesting to see with all of the staying at home, how the lack of cars out on the roads is affecting our environment. Less smog, less emissions. As someone who really thinks deeply about transportation and the way people move around, what are your thoughts about how we come out of this pandemic and how it might reshape the way we transport?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting because, you know, to think so suddenly that everything will just change is probably not likely, but I do think we will see some adjustments. I think particularly because many of us, myself included, have been forced to do more virtual work effort and become much more, I guess, experienced at that. I do think that we'll see a much greater trend towards the ability to work from home, the ability to prove that that can, which basically reduces the need for folks to be driving into work. It should result anyway in a subsequent improvement then to the environment. Certainly the numbers are drastic right now just because no one's on the road for the most part. But obviously that will trend up. But I do think there will be some subtle changes over time. And I think the philosophy of companies and the ability to be flexible with their employees will continue to change.
Sure. It's fascinating to watch. And as Jeff said, you can give them the feedback that they love to get from the public at NorthFloridaTPO.com. Check that out. And always good to talk to you, Jeff. He's Jeff Sheffield, Executive Director of the North Florida TPO. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Miller. Thank you.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening. And thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Josh Torres is show director. Jessica Palumbo is WJCT's news director. Our digital editor is Bill Bortsfield. And the biggest player in all of this is you. Keep those emails and calls coming. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow and connect with you then. Stay safe, stay calm, keep listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.